in the secret, in the quiet place. Boy, I'm in the wrong key. Let's try that again. Boy, I hit the wrong button. In the secret, in the quiet place. And the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. 'Cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to trust you. I want to seek your face. I want to know you more. In the secret, in the quiet place. In the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. 'Cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. Trust you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. We are reaching the highest goal, and we might receive the prize. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of our way, 'cause we want to know you more. We want to know you. We want to hear your voice. We want to know you more. We want to trust you. We want to seek your face. Want to know you more. We want to know you. We want to hear your voice. We want to know you more. We want to trust you. We want to seek your face. Want to know you more. Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will sing. Through you the dead will rise. Our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free. I am free. Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will sing. Through you all dead will rise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free. I am free. Oh, I'm free to run. I am free to run. I am free to dance. am free today. I am free to live for you. I am free to live for you. I am free. I am free. Through you the kingdom comes. Through you the battle's won. Through you I'm not afraid. Through you the price is paid. Through you there's victory. Because of you my heart screams, I am free. Yes, I am free. Oh, I'm free to run. I am free to run. I am free to dance. I am free to dance. I am free to live for you. I am free to live for you. I am free. I am free to dance. I am free to live for you. I am free to live for you. I am free. I am free. I am free. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. Good afternoon and morning, everybody, depending on where you are. Welcome to our Arizona service, and I will now turn it over to Sue.
Good morning, everybody. This week, I went out to a restaurant with a friend of mine, and there was a waitress there who we observed. She was probably, she was probably the most on-the-ball waitress I have ever seen. As she walked past every table, she checked for the paper wrapper that went over the straws, grabbed it off the edge of the table without even a blink. If you didn't know she was there, if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't even have seen her do it. And she continued that way the entire night. We were there for about 3 hours, so we watched her over the night. And towards the end of the night, she was cleaning the windows. She just seemed to do everything that needed doing, and she was hustling. And the girl I was there with recognized this as something that's quite a remarkable thing. I had my back to her at most of the time, but she recognized it as a remarkable thing and wanted to give her a tip. So we called her over to give her the tip, and she wouldn't take it. She took a step back, put her hands up, and said, "No, thank you, I can't take that." How many of us do that to Jesus? Jesus has died on a cross for you, for every single one of us, to have that gift. And his gift is so much greater. Eternal life, if we will but choose to follow him and do his will. Commit our lives to him. How many of us slap away the hand of the Lord when he stretches it out to us? I'd like to read from John 3. I wasn't sure where I was going to start in John 3, so I'm just going to start at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That is the gift Jesus offers us, to be born again. This morning I heard, "Put off the old man, put on the new man." The new man is who? It's Jesus. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The important thing to know, when he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, unless you are born again into the life that Christ has for you, you cannot understand godly things. That is an incredible gift to be able to see and understand godly things, spiritual things. "Marvel not," verse 7, "marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is a promise. Whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You have no excuse to perish if you believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Steve was talking this morning about pride. I don't know if anyone else got that he was referencing pride, but I think I did a couple times. But it was the thing that I noticed was that he mentioned that something was mentioned more than once, which means it must have been important. In verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I think we take it for granted, well, I know I certainly have, that everybody knows Jesus. There are those who have heard of him but have no idea of who he is or what he's about. But it's our job to share him with others. We are condemned from the get-go. And without being born again, there's no salvation. So he came that we could be saved. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Jesus is that light. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I think it was Philip this morning was talking about, when you go to the light and you get correction, it hurts. It is not pleasant. It's painful because it requires change. And change is hard. Especially the older you get, it seems, change is hard because you've done things for so long. I've heard my husband use a story of if you're turning a massive boat, if it's going one direction and then it suddenly needs to turn, it's going to take a while for that boat to turn, that ship to turn. But when we're brought to the light, we have a choice. Yes, it will be painful. Yes, there may be scarring. But we have a choice to come to the light and to find out what those things are that are not of God, where that pride is that's in us. And let me warn you, when I prayed the prayer, Lord, please show me where the pride is in me, you better hold on to your seat because he's going to show you. If he loves you, he will show you. For me, it came fast and furious and didn't seem to cease. It did eventually cease. But well, no, it didn't, because I still have that regularly. And for me, it started with my husband telling me, think about your motive, why you want to say something or why you want to do something or why you don't want to say or do something. Think about your motive. The first step in any of this is to commit your life to the Lord, to recognize that you are a sinner, that you cannot do it alone, and that you need a Savior. When you can come to that recognition, get in touch with someone. Do you have the Fisherman Ministry phone number by any chance? Can you look it up? If you are in a place where you haven't made a decision for the Lord, but you're being called to account, call someone. Email someone. If you know another Christian, call them. Call upon someone. You can go to our website, which is thefishermanministry.org, and you can contact someone through that. There are people out there who would love to pray with you and love to guide you through the next step. Because it's not a 12-step process, it's the rest of your life. But if you haven't made a decision, you need to make one. Because without making one, you've already chosen the opposite camp. And you've slapped away the hand of the Lord. Don't let that be your testimony. He's reaching out to you with a gift. Lift up your arms and receive it.
I don't know if maybe Sue was looking over my shoulder this morning as I was looking up scriptures. Because I have a similar message. I am going to go back a little bit to your story about the waitress in the restaurant. She was, or the lady you were with, wanted to give her a tip because she recognized the good work she was doing. That's a very typical world. God didn't work that way. I understand what you were trying to get to, what you're trying to say. God wants to give us good things, and we often slap his hand away. But it's easy for us to want to reward that when somebody's doing good. It's easy for us to see, oh, well, that person just makes sense. It's easy to want to sort of reward that. But I'm going to go real quick to Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to start in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, the miracle about God's gift is that he doesn't give you the gift of salvation, or he doesn't make that available to you because you deserve it or have earned it or have anything in you that makes you worthy to receive it. The miracle of Jesus' gift is that you are absolutely unworthy. Amen. There is zero worthiness to you to receive the gift of salvation. Amen. And what's even more disturbing is that people don't realize they are unworthy. Going back to pride that was hit so furiously today in Steve's service, which was phenomenal, and I missed the end of it because he ran out of time. No offense, Paul and the guys, but I would have liked to rather hear the end of his service. Then you guys could come on late. But anyway. Because of pride, people that so desperately need Jesus refuse that gift. But here's the miracle, again, going back to Romans chapter 5, verse 6 again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the who? The ungodly, the unworthy, those without any deserving of his gift. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now consider the difference. Consider the difference. Jesus doesn't put his gift out there for you because you are worthy. He puts it out there because you're not worthy. How much greater is the love, the agape love of God, to offer that gift of redemption while we were yet sinners. Not when we had our acts together, not when we were doing, quote, good works, not when we were doing everything right, not when we were cleaned up, not when all of that stuff had been accomplished, but while we were yet sinners is when he reached out his hand to you, to me. That's the greater miracle. I want to turn over to Romans chapter 10. Pardon me while I adjust this microphone. Bear with the noise. I apologize. Okay. I think we're going to go and start with verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again up from again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. You are only a moment away from receiving the gift of God. It is in you to believe. It is in you to confess. You don't have to go through great lengths to receive it. You don't have to climb a great mountain or go to the deepest ocean to find it. It's right here. It's right now. Verse 9. I'm going to read verse 8 again because it will flow right into 9 here. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What more is there? Where's the rest of the laundry list that is perpetrated on churchdom today? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Ashamed means disappointed. How many times have you believed in something and been disappointed? Have you believed in your spouse, in your work, in your government, in your own self? And how many times have you been disappointed over and over and over and over and over? Isn't it about time to break that cycle? Isn't it about time that we are no longer ashamed, no longer disappointed? And it starts with believing God. Sue read over in John 3, and I don't want to misquote it, so I'm going to go read it. John. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Believe God. Verse Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, for you to be in that place to call upon the name of the Lord, generally, you're going to be in a place where you need something. That's okay. Call on the Lord. Let him fill that need. Let him demonstrate his love to you yet again, as if hanging on the cross wasn't enough. He yet will demonstrate his love to you. Believe on God. On what else in your life that you have believed in has done anything to warrant you to continue to believe in it? Jesus is the rock that shall not be moved. You can believe on him. You can build your faith on him. You can build your life on him. You can build your everything on him because he does not move. Now, here's the part I wanted to get to today. Maybe a short service today. I want you to think of all the people you know that need Jesus, that need healing, that need deliverance, that need truth. I want you to think in your mind all the people that need Jesus. And I want you to think of that while I read this next verses. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Why don't they know? The list in my life is long, and it grows every day, of people that I know need Jesus. And it's amazing, as I confess to you and to the Lord and seek his forgiveness, how often I keep my mouth shut because I'm afraid to tell them. He has done so much for me. He has done so much for you. How are those people going to know unless you open your mouth and tell them? Believe me, I understand the thoughts that go flying through your mind at that time. Realize that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And not only you, but those people he has put in your path to minister to. How are they going to hear? How are they going to believe unless you open your mouth and tell them? How? How did you come to the Lord? Did you wake up one morning and poof, we're a Christian? Or did somebody reach out to you and tell you about Jesus? What would have happened if that person hadn't loved you more than themselves to tell you about Jesus? where would you be? Where would you be? There is no excuse. There's no excuse for us not telling people about the goodness of God, about the grace of our Lord. And maybe we're looking for that person that deserves it. Maybe that, like that waitress in the restaurant, we're waiting to see that one doing all the right things and doing all the good things. And that's the one we're going to tell about Jesus. What hypocrites. Don't despise the gift of God. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I want to go to that part about being sent. There are those right now in our ministry that are being sent of the Lord to go bring the gospel. How are they sent? They are sent through those that are left behind to support their sending. Not too long ago, I don't know if when I brought this up, it might have been weeks ago, but I was talking to my friend Cecil, and he was telling me that he was in the Army. I'm going to guess his numbers are correct. He said 1% of those in the Army that are in the Army are trigger pullers. The rest of them support that. Right now, we have those that are on the road to bring that gospel. We have others that are waiting to go on the road to take that gospel. Those of us that are not on the road need to be supporting those that have been sent to do so. By whatever means God has put it on your heart to do. We're all part of bringing that good news in every area of our lives. At work, at home, in your friend relationships, in your family, even amongst one another, we can bring the good news to one another. I sang a song, I Am Free. And as I was singing that song, it's through Jesus, through Jesus, through Jesus, through Jesus, through Jesus, through Jesus. And I was going through the people in my sphere of contact of how badly and how desperately they need Jesus. Now, whether they receive him or whether they don't, it doesn't matter to me. Whether they receive me or reject me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that they need Jesus. And that outweighs everything. If you struggle with courage to stand up and do, and to open your mouth and say, then there's a solution for that too. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Do you know what that fear is? It's not the type of fear we're supposed to have towards God or to authority. That's not it. It's a different fear. The fear it's referring to is cowardice. God has not given you a spirit of cowardice, but of love, power, and a sound mind. It also says in the Word that perfect love casts out fear. So what is it that holds us back in those circumstances? It's fear, cowardice, and it's pride. Two things God will not tolerate in His kingdom. The other scripture that comes to mind, and I'll end with this, and this is incredibly sobering to me, and I pray is to you as well. Jesus says, if you confess Him to those you know, He will confess you to His Father in heaven. But if you don't, He will not confess you to His Father in heaven. If you think that you can go through your so-called Christian life being ashamed of your relationship with Jesus, do not even think for an instant that He's going to let you in to the kingdom He is establishing. Forget it. I want to put that fantasy out of your mind right now. It will not happen. Be strong. Be bold. Open your mouth. Tell people about Jesus. Seek the Lord. Look for opportunities. Pray for discernment. Pray for wisdom. These are all things we can do, and He will provide them to us because He said so. And then let's see what happens around us. Someone reached out to you one day. Reach out to others today.
Leather of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Oh, you've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, the lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You've set my feet upon the rock. And now I know I love you. Oh, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, O, the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me all the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
All right, everyone. Have a great week, and may the Lord bless you. I encourage you to go back through the services and listen. Let the Lord minister to you and to your heart what you need to hear to be strong and of a good courage and effective in Him, and become transparent so that Jesus can shine through. In Jesus' name. Amen.